Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. Our show is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Iron Mining Association of Minnesota, reminding us that from paperclips to ships, Minnesota's iron mines help make the things we use every day. We are at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork, and I dare say this is the finest theater we've played yet, the intimate hall, modern facility, the baby grand piano there that Nikolai has been enjoying all night. It's a real marvel and testament to this area's commitment to the arts. It really has impressed us. All of us from the show have come here. Big Fork's a small logging town deep in the north woods of Minnesota, surrounded by other smaller logging towns, even further surrounded by more woods. They call it the edge of the wilderness, and that's not a marketing slogan. You literally have to drive a long way from here to see anything other than woods. And even then, the next thing you'll see is the Iron Range 50 miles south of here. So for a lot of people in the Big Fork area, that's just enough reason to stay in the woods. No reason to go down there. It's trouble, mostly. I tell you, though, we've got Howard Pitson was out earlier talking about the good grass we got around here, and it caught my attention because there is so much hay in the Big Fork area. There's hay down by Cherry, where I'm from. All these areas where the cast-offs were I was talking about, there's hay everywhere. And, you know, hay, the price of hay is way up. It's like we might be riding a gravy train of hay around here. There are hay rustlers down in the Great Plains, Oklahoma. They're actually stealing giant hay bales out of the fields at night, putting them on trucks and driving them away. They actually caught a guy with putting a GPS in a hay bale, and they caught a guy rustling hay. I heard that on the radio the other day on KAXE, actually. So it got me thinking about hay, because hay was always around. My high school graduation picture, we actually took it in a field with hay. Hay bales are actually in the picture. It reminds me of the joke that my family has whenever we go by a hay bale or a hay field. We try to get the kids on this one. We say, "Hey," and one of the kids goes, "What?" And they, "Hay bale." It's not a very funny joke, but it is a repetitive one. And believe me, by the 28th or 29th time you've done it, it's very funny. And my mom hates it when I tell this story, but I tell it anyway because I love my mom. I love this story. And it's a story of we used to drive by the hay bales, the giant round bales, and she would say to us kids, we were little, you know, those hay bales are alive. And every time you drive by, they get a little bit closer to the road. And you have to be careful because when they get up right to the edge of the ditch there, they jump out at you and we could get your car, you know. This always seemed odd that she would tell this story to. We now dispute the story. She says no. She told us there were aliens in the hay pushing the hay bales towards us. I don't know that makes it better, but anyway, I still tell that story to my kids now. Tell them that the hay bales might get them. I don't know why we repeat these traditions, but we do. Anyway, there's a hay boom on the way, and the hay is moving at a good clip. It's Christmas time, and of course that means Christmas specials, right? We've had a Christmas special here on the Great Northern Radio Show tonight. And, you know, of course, the Christmas specials are all on the TV, and there's a lot of them we see every year. Like A Christmas Story, you guys know that one? The Ralphie and the BB gun and the, you know, that's what, yeah. Give it a cheer. Well, you got to know something about me. When I was a young child, this was in the 1980s, which is coincidentally when this movie came out, and I looked exactly like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. Big glasses, blonde hair, sweater vests, and I was that kid. And even when you put a hat on me, and we looked identical. So that movie kind of takes on a slightly different edge for me. But the other thing about Christmas specials is you realize how mean some of the people are in some of these Christmas specials. Like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, he's born with a red nose, right? Which he looks like a reindeer, but he's got a red nose, okay? And everyone thinks he's a freak, treats him like garbage. And his own parents kick him out, and his Santa even is like, "Rudolph, something's wrong with you." And he gets kicked out, and he goes through this long journey, and the abominable snowman tries to eat him, and he tries to save people. And at the end of the thing, they're all like, "Oh, it's snowing. What are we going to do?" And Rudolph like has the bright light, and they say, "Oh, Rudolph, will you help us?" And I don't know why Rudolph just didn't say, you know, "No." You guys were really mean to me. I want an apology. But that's not what happened. He helped anyway. And I guess that really is a message about Christmas, is in the holiday season, in this time of new birth, the new year, the new time. We forgive people. We find it in our hearts to love people. Something happens on the brink of human despair right at that moment you're about to put your uncle's face into the eggnog bowl, or drop your cousin off in the middle of a frozen lake and let her walk out of there somehow with no shoes. You find yourself capable of loving them anyway, and you don't do those things. You're nice to them because it's a Christmas miracle that we're all here today sometimes. It is a time of eating, you know. Thanksgiving is a big eating holiday. That's really just the kickoff because our food tolerance is way up right now. We've been eating since Thanksgiving. We haven't stopped. And, you know, Christmas, they're going to serve up all the same food that you had on Thanksgiving, the big turkeys and hams. And now there's fudge. And then there's pretzels dipped in fudge. And then wrapped in bacon. Encased in caramel. Served with whipped cream. And that's just the dessert you eat before dinner. And then after, the one you eat after dinner requires a winch, a grappling hook, and a nitroglycerin shot straight to the heart when you're done. Actually, it's, you know, northern Minnesota is an immigrant place. You know, the Scandinavians and all the countries of Europe sent people to the Iron Range, and all those people are here in the Big Fork area as well. And that brings out the ethnic traditions. Holidays bring out ethnic traditions. And for a lot of people, like, what kind of lefse are we going to serve tonight? Is it going to be the Norwegian lefse or the Swedish lefse? And actually, I talked to somebody who has that dispute. And of course, you know, for a lot of the Scandinavians, it means the lutefisk comes out. And everyone has that reaction. You have to know something about lutefisk. It's this cod kind of whitefish dipped in lye, or soaked in lye, actually, and they leave it out. They can leave it out for months sometimes. I've heard of people leaving it out for a year and all this lutefisk in this lye. And, you know, in the 21st century, there's no reason to eat a thing like that. You know, they didn't, when they made that, when they invented it, there was no refrigeration. That was the point, you understand? But now we're eating this animal that has not been refrigerated, and that's a red flag for me. Those who claim to like the lutefisk really only like the fact that they, unlike most, can actually digest it naturally. They're bragging is what they're doing. I talked to a guy whose cousin won a lutefisk eating contest. Now he gets, get this, he ate 3 pounds of lutefisk to win the national lutefisk eating title. But that's not the interesting part of the story here. The interesting part of the story is that he had to eat 7 pounds to get out of the Midwest regional. So that's where your lutefisk eating action is, up here. There's a lot I want to know and a lot I don't want to know about how that what happens when you eat 7 pounds of lutefisk, but all the Scandinavians, the Finns, the Germans, Scotch-Irish, the Ojibwe people who have lived in these areas around here for hundreds of years, all the old ways come out for the holidays, and things change over time. You know, the kids out there in front of the school have their earphones on when they're walking around town, and I bet they aren't listening to the old shanties from the days of the voyageurs, unless that's in. It's hard to keep track. I don't think it's in, though. These were the songs of this place, though, at one time, those old voyageur shanties echoing off the river. It's an interconnected world. It's not just rivers now. There's modern conveniences, the internet, lots of things spreading messages all over the world. But the thing that's great about Big Fork and places like it are people here produce enough warmth and food of all kinds and entertainment and talent to last through even the coldest, nastiest winter that may or may not be going on right as we speak.